Chapter 21, William Miller. I saw that God sent His angel to move upon the heart of a farmer who had not believed the Bible and led him to search the prophecies. Angels of God repeatedly visited that chosen one and guided his mind and opened his understanding to prophecies which had ever been dark to God's people. The commencement of the chain of truth was given him, and he was led on to search for link after link until he looked with wonder and admiration upon the Word of God. He saw there a perfect chain of truth. The Word, which he had regarded as uninspired, now opened before his vision with beauty and glory. He saw that one portion of Scripture explained another, and when one portion was closed to his understanding, he found in another portion of the Word that which explained it. He regarded the sacred Word of God with joy and with the deepest respect and awe. As he followed down the prophecies, he saw that the inhabitants of earth were living in the closing scenes of this world's history, and they knew it not. He looked at the corruptions of the churches and saw that their love was taken from Jesus and placed on the world, and that they were seeking for worldly honor instead of that honor which cometh from above, ambitious for worldly riches instead of laying up their treasure in heaven. Hypocrisy, darkness, and death he could see everywhere. His spirit was stirred within him. God called him to leave his farm as Elisha was called to leave his oxen and the field of his labor to follow Elijah. With trembling, William Miller began to unfold the mysteries of the kingdom of God to the people. He gained strength with every effort. He carried the people down through the prophecies to the second advent of Christ. As John the Baptist heralded the first advent of Jesus and prepared the way for his coming, so also William Miller and those who joined with him proclaimed the second advent of the Son of God. I was carried back to the days of the disciples and was shown the beloved John that God had a special work for him to accomplish. Satan was determined to hinder this work, and he led on his servant to destroy John. But God sent his angel and wonderfully preserved him. All who witnessed the great power of God manifested in the deliverance of John were astonished, and many were convinced that God was with him, and that the testimony which he bore concerning Jesus was correct. Those who sought to destroy him were afraid to again attempt to take his life, and he was permitted to suffer on for Jesus. He was falsely accused by his enemies and was shortly banished to a lonely island, where the Lord sent his angel to reveal to him things which were to take place upon the earth, and the state of the church down to the end, her backslidings and the position the church should occupy if she would please God and finally overcome. The angel from heaven came to John in majesty. His countenance beamed with the excellent glory of heaven. He revealed to John scenes of deep and thrilling interest concerning the Church of God, and brought before him the perilous conflicts they were to endure. John saw them pass through fiery trials and made white and tried, and finally victorious overcomers gloriously saved in the kingdom of God. The countenance of the angel grew radiant with joy and was exceeding glorious as he showed to John the final triumph of the Church of God. John was enraptured as he beheld the final deliverance of the church, and as he was carried away with the glory of the scene, with deep reverence and awe he fell at the feet of the angel to worship him. The angel instantly raised him up and gently reproved him, saying, "See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The angel then showed John the heavenly city with all its splendor and dazzling glory. John was enraptured and overwhelmed with the glory of the city. He did not bear in mind his former reproof from the angel, but again fell to worship before the feet of the angel, who again gave the gentle reproof, "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God." Preachers and people have looked upon the book of Revelation as mysterious and of less importance than other portions of the sacred scriptures, but I saw that this book is indeed a revelation given for the especial benefit of those who should live in the last days, to guide them in ascertaining their true position and their duty. God led the mind of William Miller into the prophecies and gave him great light upon the book of Revelation. If Daniel's visions had been understood, the people could better have understood the visions of John. But at the right time, God moved upon his chosen servant, who, with clearness and in the power of the Holy Spirit, opened the prophecies and showed the harmony of the visions of Daniel and John and other portions of the Bible, and pressed home upon the hearts of the people the sacred, fearful warnings of the Word to prepare for the coming of the Son of Man. Deep and solemn convictions rested upon the minds of those who heard him, and ministers and people, sinners and infidels, turned to the Lord to seek a preparation to stand in the judgment. Angels of God accompanied William Miller in his mission. He was firm and undaunted. He fearlessly proclaimed the message committed to his trust. A world lying in darkness and a cold worldly church were enough to call into action his energy and to lead him to willingly endure toil, privation, and suffering. Although opposed by professed Christians and the world and buffeted by Satan and his angels, he ceased not to preach the everlasting gospel to crowds wherever he was invited, and sounded the cry, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come."